the rain, which rushes down in countless waterfalls. So today is January 30th, 2005. Water collection number 16. Then we shall pack it all up in foil. And in this form, this water will hold its energy for several days with the air of these places. Then we'll arrive in St. Petersburg. And we'll calmly carry out at our laboratory analysis several thousand kilometers away, and only then will we be able to draw any conclusions. Professor Korotkov's laboratory has developed an instrument that can determine the energetics of water. It works on the basis of the Kirlian effect. Everything that enters a strong electromagnetic field begins to emit light. The greater energy the object possesses, the brighter it shines. The water from Venezuela was compared with ordinary drinking water. We can say that this water is not double, not triple, but 40,000 times more active. So these are really two fundamentally different substances. And water of this type, this water which immediately activates the body, it activates the whole system. That's why there, when we were in those places, where the Indians, despite the deprivation in which they live very long lives and are pretty happy, and they absolutely do not want civilization to come to them. In the late autumn of 1632, a poor farmer named Gentz from the village of Enningen in Hessen, an orphan, who didn't remember his parents or where he was born, set off for southern Italy to seek a better lot. His route ran through the city of Waldshut am Rhein in the eparchy of Konstanz. Suddenly, Gentz was literally stabbed by the feeling that these places were very directly related to him. It was as if the shepherd's legs led him where he should go, which was into a grove. Entering it, Gentz looked around. Not far away, a spring was coming right out of the ground. The young man approached it, bent down, and drank the water. Many years later, he told his grandchildren the story of how the water had given back him his memory, so that he recollected these places and his father and mother and the house in which he was born. Modern science maintains that the water structure of each person's body is identical to the structure of the water in the place where he was born. Therefore, our internal connection to our place of birth is preserved throughout our life. And that means that the concept of homeland has not only a lofty poetical meaning, but also a quite specific physical content. Nowhere in the world is the water the same. Breaking its way to the surface, through minerals and ores, water assimilates the vibrations of the soil and information about its specific biological and energetical features. We tested this absolutely marvelous water, which is sold in large bottles, and the producer puts a label on them which says, it's the best water in the world, but it is empty and dead. True, it's pure and it's good, and some minerals have been added, but this is dead water in which there is no energetics and there is no life. Most likely, people do not sense any particular difference between naturally pure and artificially purified water. But any animal will always choose water from a spring, because this water is loaded with natural energies. Not long ago, yet another unique property of natural water was discovered. It turns out that such water is flammable. The burning of natural water, the water itself burns, and the reason it burns is precisely that it is structurized in a special way. Natural water is. Burning, in rigorous scientific terms, is a process of oxidation in which heat and light are given off. In the case of water, it burns at the temperature of the environment, and the light emitted can be recorded using super-sensitive instruments. In burning, you have oxygen being continuously activated and some organic matter is continuously burning. So the burning of water is a process that's a little bit more extended in time, because if it were a process like that, then it would already have all been burned up. On June 3, 1940, a note was tossed into the Soviet embassy in Germany. Its author requested to be contacted immediately. If this does not happen, my work with Heydrich will go to waste, wrote an agent, Willy Lechmann, codename Breitenbach. He hastened to report on secret testing facilities and work being done on making synthetic gasoline from brown coal using water. Back in 1913, Kaiser Wilhelm had ordered Franz Fischer, a leading chemist, to make sure Germany had liquid fuel supplies. Not having its own oil could put Germany in a weak position in the impending war. By 1941, German scientists had succeeded in obtaining fuel by hydrogenating coal. This fuel, however, was 10 to 12 times more expensive than natural fuel refined from oil, and it was of such poor quality that it badly damaged the military vehicles in which it was used. After the war, these efforts to produce fuel using water were abandoned as futile. For the past 15 years, researcher Zhang Guohua has been working to create fuel of this type. Now we shall demonstrate for everyone the process of preparing emulsified diesel fuel and show its two aspects. One aspect is increased energy, and the other is the reduction of exhaust gases. This is fuel taken from an automobile, structurized water. If we take the proportions, it is 79% diesel fuel, 20% water, and 1% emulsifying agent. What was added here is water. John shows us that what is added to the fuel really is water. Now we shall add the 1% emulsifying agent. An emulsified solution resembling milk forms immediately. We pour the emulsified fuel into the car and use it for propulsion. Measured over the long term, there was a 5% increase in power with over 20% fuel economy. Our government views this as very important. I think that not even all chemists remember this aspect. If you take gasoline and completely dry it out, it always contains some quantity of water. And if you give it a special treatment to remove all the water from the gasoline will not burn. This was known already in the 19th century. To burn anything whatsoever, there has to be at least some quantity of water. There is a legend among the Persian Sufis. Once upon a time, a wise man said that the day would come when all the water in the world, except for what had been specially collected, would disappear, and then different water would replace it. But anyone who drank the new water would lose his mind. Only one man took the prophecy seriously and began to store up water. But the day that had been predicted did not come, and every body of water emptied out. The man who had listened to the wise man drank water from his supply. And then the bodies of water and wells filled up with water again. People thirstily drank this water.